Toastmasters, would-be Toastmasters, listeners and friends, you are very welcome to the Talk Show for Talkers here on irishtalkers.com. You can email us at info@irishtalkers.com. You can find us on the web at irishtalkers.com, of course. My name is Moira O'Brien, and I'm joined this week by the inimitable Mr. James Finnegan. This week, we have a very special guest for you. We have interviewed international presidents in the past, but I'm delighted to say that we're interviewing today the present international president, Orek Mathison. Over to you, James.
I'm honoured and delighted to introduce a very special guest to the Talk Show for Talkers. Our Toastmaster International President 2023-24, Orek Mathison, DTM. International President Orek has been a Toastmaster for 17 years. She's currently a member of at least three clubs, including a multinational online club that she founded herself. She's only the second international president from Europe and the first female international president from outside the United States. She was born and raised in central Scotland, District 71, although she now lives in Bavaria in Germany. International President Orek, you're very welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Tell me, Madam International President, what brought you to Toastmasters in the first place?
The flippant answer to that is an invitation. Someone invited me to come. I first encountered Toastmasters, actually, when I was studying for an MBA in the UK. And a group of Toastmasters came to our residential school and presented the idea of Toastmasters to us. And I thought, that sounds like a really good idea. And I took the flyer. And then when I checked, once I got home, there were no clubs anywhere near where I was living at that time. And so I put the flyer away and thought, well, it was a nice idea. But when I moved to Germany, someone actually invited me to come. And I remembered that meeting and I thought, oh, yeah, that's that group that I thought had something of value. I need to check this out. But the person who invited me, he did a really smart thing. He spoke to my need. So he didn't talk about things that mattered to some people. He talked about the things that mattered to me. Because I was brand new in Germany, I knew no one apart from my husband. And this was a colleague of my husband's who was inviting us. He said, we have this lovely group of people. They're really nice, Morag. They speak English. And if you come on Wednesday, you'll get to hear me deliver a speech. Well, how could I say no? It just spoke to my need for connection and for building new relationships in a new setting. And of course, when I went there, I found what all of us find, that there is so much more to Toastmasters than the one thing that brought us.
You mentioned your husband, David, there. You have a very special and unique connection. Your membership numbers are next to each other, I believe.
That's correct, yeah. I don't know if there are any other couples in Toastmasters who have that, but we do. We joined on the same day, and obviously the processing must have happened sequentially at headquarters, and we ended up with consecutive numbers.
Because you might not know, but while you were doing your international training over in Turkey, your husband joined a District 71 club officer training that was going on that same weekend. And he had actually said that he had met our district director, Elizabeth Jordan. So it's a small world, really. It's just as well we were all behaving ourselves.
He wouldn't tell stories out of school.
Tell me, International President Orek, what's the important leadership lessons have you learnt on your journey to becoming the international president?
There are so many lessons, I think, that you learn along the way. But I still think to this day, one of the most important lessons I learned was a lesson that I learned on the day I became district governor, as it was then, district director, as it is today, when my predecessor called me up and said, we need to talk. And she began to tell me all the things that I'd done really well as her program quality director. But then she began to tell me, if you are to be successful as district director, then you need to do more of this and less of that, and a big list. And I listened, and she's someone I respect enormously. And I listened, and I listened to everything she had to say to me. and then thought about it afterwards. And I realized that what she was actually saying to me was, you need to be more like me and less like you. And when I figured that one out, I realized that that would be the worst thing I could ever do, is become more like someone else. You know, I think while we can all improve as leaders, you have to be true to yourself. If I were not true to myself as a leader, it would be like wearing someone else's overcoat. It might keep you a bit warm, but it would be very uncomfortable for the whole of the time. And so realizing that and thinking, okay, I don't want to become like her. I want to be the best version of me. Then put me in that important frame of mind for any leader, I think. And that is to be open to learn. So I'm going to take feedback, and I know I might make mistakes, but I'm going to learn from those. And I'm going to learn to become the best leader I can. And, you know, that has stood me in good stead all the way through the roles that I've had since then. Just remembering that I need to be true to me. I need to be true to the values that I hold. And I need to know what I'm good at and know what I struggle with and be honest about myself, and especially be honest about myself to myself. And that's probably the biggest single lesson that I've learned. There have been many others. And another one that I think is really important in leadership is that it's not about you. And I think sometimes people struggle with that, especially when we're coming into our very first leadership positions, or if we're young, if I think of workplace situations where you think, I have to be this person. Well, no, actually, it's not about you. It is about the mission that you have, the goal that you have to achieve, and helping your team that you're working with, because there are very few things we do in leadership that don't involve other people. But it's bringing the best out of them so that they learn to contribute and they learn to work with you towards those goals that you need to achieve. And really, very little is achieved if you focus just on yourself and you being the most important soul in the room.
And of course, nothing of importance is ever alone or in isolation.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is the time of year when we're looking to the next generation of leaders. What would you do to someone who's considering taking up a leadership position?
I have one piece of advice for anyone who is given an opportunity, particularly in Toastmasters, but in life generally. And it is this: think about saying yes before you immediately say no. There's a huge temptation when someone asks you to just think, oh no, I'm not doing that. No, because I'm too busy. It sounds too big. It sounds too scary for me. Or there'll be other people who will do it. We can all find a myriad of reasons to say no, but it's actually stop and think, what if I said yes to that opportunity? What am I going to learn? So ask those questions. Maybe it is the wrong time for you. Maybe you just can't manage to fit everything in with your work and your other responsibilities, but maybe you could. And maybe actually this will be the springboard to something really important for you in the future, because what we learn in Toastmasters for sure are transferable skills. So things that we can take into the workplace with us, into other community groups where we serve, into our family life, just into all aspects of our life. There are things we're going to be able to take. So if I take a role as an area director, I'm going to learn a lot about planning and organizing. And those are great skills in many, many parts of life, as well as learning to give feedback and learning how to encourage and develop a team where you're not directly the leader, but you're indirectly in support of these people. So I think it is, you know, about assessing what would this give me, and ask people. There's lots of people who have done the role before you, whatever the role is. There's no brand new roles in Toastmasters this year. They've all been held by someone else in the past. Go seek them out, someone perhaps that you think was very successful, or maybe someone who struggled, and ask them, what was the role? Why were you successful? What did you learn from it? What did you gain from this? Or what were the challenges you faced? The things that, whatever it is, you need to know, and then weigh up what that would mean for you and what an amazing opportunity this might be for you if this is the right time. And if this is not the right time and you do decide to say no, don't make it a no forever. Make it a no for just now. But let me think again when the next time the opportunity comes round, because that's important too. If we can't say yes this time, don't miss out on the opportunity because this isn't the right time. Make sure people know that you're interested and that you might be willing in the future if you cannot do it at this time. But for sure, always think about saying yes and what that might mean for you before you immediately rush with the no and then regret it afterwards.
That's the worst thing. It's the regret afterwards. If only, if only.
Yeah, absolutely.
Post-COVID, our organization, like so many other volunteer groups, has challenges, including loss of members. How do you think we build back stronger?
I think it's really important to do what Simon Sinek says and start with why. Why do we exist? What is our purpose as an organisation? And our purpose as an organisation is to help people develop those thinking, speaking and listening skills so that they might have greater self-confidence and personal growth. So why are we there? And to believe in our product. Our product delivers amazing results for people. It helps people. I think the biggest single byproduct of Toastmasters is self-confidence. So whatever you're learning to do, whether it is about learning to deliver speeches in those early days or taking on leadership responsibilities of all different levels and kinds, there is something amazing to be had by that. And I think it's important for each one of us to remember that because the world is so very different today from where it was 5 years ago. So very different. But we are different too. So now we have to work within a new context, new selves. But people still need help. People still need to thrive in an interview, to build effective relationships in their workplace and in their family and their communities. People still need all of the things that we have to offer. And so it's important for us as members to remember that people still need what we have. We have to find a way to deliver it, you know, being true to who we are as an organization and what we're about. And, you know, for some people, there's a lot more need to be able to express those skills online. And for other people, it's more, no, I still need to do this in person because I'm meeting my family in person and that's where I need the skills. Or, you know, I started an online club, you said in the introduction. I started an online club in 2021. We chartered the club with 27 members online because we believed that it was possible. And 27 people came together really believing in the mission of Toastmasters and seeing the benefits, you know, and many of those people today are still working online in their day job. So this for them is the right spot. In fact, one of the people we had who came to that club right at the beginning was a past district director from Europe who came, she had left the organization because she felt like she'd had everything. But the minute she heard we were doing this fully online club, she came and she visited a meeting and she immediately, before the end of the meeting, messaged me, sign me up straight away. This is exactly what I need today. So I think, you know, being open to that different environment we're in, the different people we are, but remembering that we still have the same mission, we still have the same purpose, we still have the same product that will help us to and empower us to become better communicators and leaders and to grow our self-confidence.
And of course, we have a selling point in that we've been doing this for the best part of 100 years. How would you like us to see this milestone event celebrated?
It's a really big year this year, isn't it? 100 years. And we've had the kind of soft launch. If you look at the Toastmasters website right now, you'll start to see the images of the centennial anniversary coming round and maybe some of the anniversary products beginning to appear in the store in the next few weeks, just gradually ramping up until, of course, we have our great celebration in August at our convention in California this year, celebrating all that has been in the past, but all that is to come in the future. And I would love if every club could hold an anniversary event somewhere in the next year, not now because the big launch is at convention, but we have, you know, our Toastmasters anniversary is in October. So even from then on, if every club held a special event, maybe a special open house event that brought the message of Dr. Smedley to a new generation, to the next century of Toastmasters, that's what I'd love to see, so that we were able to see all around the world that celebration of all that's good about Toastmasters and all that we hope for in the years ahead.
You often use a phrase in your interviews, never close the circle. Could you expand on that idea for us, please?
Of course, of course. It was a phrase I learned from a friend, a Scottish friend, in fact, who talks about this a lot. And it really resonated with me. And so I've adopted it with permission to talk about never closing the circle. You know, I think sometimes we can get really comfortable in our clubs and we might think in our club, this is us. Why do we need to go find new members? But sometimes new members need what we have. So even, and they're looking for us, even if we're not looking for them. So let's make it so that there's always a room in the circle. There's always a space for another and another and another. There's a belief that once a meeting room is 70% full, new people don't see a space for themselves, even though you and I know there are tons of seats left. Of course you can sit there. You know, so are we actually making room for people in what we do so that people can come and experience what we have to offer and decide to be part of what we're doing? So, and it's the same with leadership. You know, sometimes there are some very unlikely leaders who emerge, people that you never noticed, you never saw them, but suddenly they've emerged. And if we only went to the people that we know and ask the people, the same people over and over again, these people don't get their opportunity and we miss out on great people. So we close the circle by saying, oh, we have everyone we need here. You know, we're good. We don't need any more. Actually, that's not true. There always needs to be room for another one to come so that when I come or you go to somewhere, you feel welcomed. And you feel like I could belong here, because that's a big decision we all make when we visit a Toastmasters meeting. You know, I think the first question in our mind is often, could I fulfill the need that I have? So if my need is to become better at presentation skills at work, I go to a club meeting and I see what's happening and I think, yeah, I probably could learn that here. The next question that springs to mind is this a place where I could belong? Am I safe enough here? Will these people look after me well? Will they take care? I don't mean in a helpless kind of way, but I mean in a positive, affirming way. Will I feel that I could grow here? Would I feel that I could be part of all of this? And when they talk about mentors for new members, could I become a mentor? Would they look at me and think, never you? So for me, that's what never closing the circle is about. It is about saying there's always a space for someone else to step into, whether it is the circle of membership, whether it's the circle of leadership, or any other circles that we describe or define in the organisation.
International President, who inspires you?
There are lots and lots of people who inspire me. Along the way, we could be here all day talking about who inspires me. People inspire me in so many different ways. One of the people that I talk about regularly, and she's sadly no longer with us in this world, is a lady called Margaret Sinclair. I met Margaret when she's never been a Toastmaster. I met her in another part of my life. And I met her when she was retiring from work for the third time. She was born in the country of Malawi. Her father was a missionary and her mother and father went out to Malawi to be missionaries. And she was born there. And then sadly, when her mother was giving birth to her second child, her mother died in childbirth with the second child. And so the young Margaret, small girl, was then sent back to Scotland to be raised by her grandparents. And later in life, she trained as a social worker. She married, had her own family. And she gave so much to different communities. You know, despite coming from what many would see as quite a privileged background, she really engaged with communities where there was tremendous need and worked so hard and then got to the stage where, oh, I'm due to retire, retired, missed it so much that she went back and said, can I come back? And so they had her. So she actually ended up retiring three times. And I met her then when she was retiring for that third time. And I was so inspired by her. She had a great love of literature, a great love of life generally, and an interest in the whole world. Her world was so much bigger than the world of many people that I knew. And I was just young. I was in my early 20s when I met her. she decided that having retired, she now had time to do the things that she would like to do. And she wrote a book, which was the letters that her parents had exchanged when they were separated by distance for some time, and writing about Malawi back in the day as it was. She then went on to set up a charity that sponsors young women in education in Malawi. And that charity is still running today. She named it after her mother. And how she engaged people. One of the things that there are two things that really inspire me about her. One is this, the world, seeing the bigger view of the world. And the second is she had friends of all different ages. So when she would invite you to a promotional event for her charity, or even just come over for dinner, there would be other people there. Me in my early 20s, she and her husband around 70, everything in between. And this great diverse mix of people, and what a richness that brought to life. And that's one of the things that has really inspired me and made me think about my own life, about how do I engage? How do I make my life richer? Because by making my life richer, I'm making the lives of others richer. And I think that's what she has done most that has really inspired me. So although she's no longer with us, her legacy lives on for me.
It's interesting that you mentioned literature there, because it's said that all great leaders are also great readers. What are you reading at the moment, and can you make any recommendations for us?
What am I reading? Well, I'm getting my way through the books I got for Christmas. As most people will know, I am a great reader. My mother used to say to me, if there was nothing else available, I would read the cereal box. And I think she probably was right. I probably would have if there had been nothing else available. So I've been reading through books I got for Christmas, a lot of them fiction, which is quite nice. I love that world of fantasy. I'm a huge fan of Alexander McCall Smith, who wrote the 44 Scotland Street books. And I got some of those for Christmas and just love that. I love the way he uses language, the pictures that he builds with words are truly awe-inspiring. The book I'm about to start reading, which is in that bundle too, is called Unleashed. So I'm kind of recommending something to you that I've never read before, but I'm inspired to read because it was recommended to me by someone else. It's called Unleashed by Frances Fry and Anne Morris. And it's all about empowering people around you. And so I'm intrigued as to what these women have to say about empowering others when you're in leadership, because I think that's an important part of leadership. So if anyone else reads it, let me know what you thought of it.
Thank you. We might take you up on that offer. I know you also do a bit of writing, particularly poetry. And in District 71, I believe we are unique, if not in a minority, in having a poet in residence for the last 3 years, with Anne O'Neill, Philip Campani, and currently Mike Keenan. What do you write about in your poetry?
I write about all sorts of things. Often it started for me as a teenager in dealing with difficult situations in life, was when I began to write. It was a way of processing emotions. How do I feel about this is where it began. So often it will be about things that have happened to me or things I've seen, a lot of nature poetry about, you know, snow or clouds or whatever, just whatever I'm experiencing at that time. So there's a lot of what I observe and experience in life that comes through in poetry that I write.
With your busy schedule, in your limited spare time, what do you do in that spare time?
My husband would say, oh, she actually stays home. He probably would say. One of my hobbies is gardening. I love my garden. We moved house a few years ago to a house that we've been renovating. So there's been a lot of work in that, which means I've spent limited time in the garden because we've been working on the house. And my great plan for last year was actually to get into the garden. I've got my designs. I've worked out what I want to do and gradually working our way through getting the garden into the shape that I would like to be in. I'd like it to be in.
That's why I welcome the snow when it comes here, because that way my garden looks exactly the same as everyone else's. You mentioned the convention in California this year when you hand over the reins to the next international president. How would you like like your year to be remembered?
I would like people to say about me that I did the best I could with what I had, because I think each of us is given a different portfolio to look at. You know, the organization is in a different place. The presidents before me that I've worked with and observed closely, a lot of them were working through the COVID times when everything was online, or how do we get out of being online? You know, now we're beginning to see a bit more stability in some ways in the organization. And I see my role this year, a lot of it is about planning for that future rather than, oh, we just have to do what we need to do for today because we don't know what tomorrow's going to be like, honestly. You know, let's say what it's been like the last 4 years. It's been very, very challenging for everyone. And I think this year for me, it's been about, okay, so now that things look a little bit more settled, how do we actually plan for the future to give us a more secure setting to operate in? And I'd like then people to think, well, she did the best she could with what she had, because, and this is something that comes from my father. My father was a great man of, I don't care whether you're top of the class at school or middle of the class or where you are, so long as when you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror, you're happy with the person who's looking back at you, because you know that you did everything you could. That's good enough. So long as you know that you did everything you could. And that's a bit of a life value for me, that sense of I have to do the best I can. And my best might be completely different to someone else's. They may be much better than me. But if I've done the best I can, then that's all that anyone can really ask of us, that we do the best we can.
What wise words from your father. Madam International President, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to chat to us today. I would love to give you the opportunity for the final word to say to our listeners all across the globe.
Thank you very much. What I would say to you is that the gift of membership in Toastmasters is different for each one of us. My husband and I, as you heard, we joined on the same day. Our membership numbers are one apart, but our journey through Toastmasters has been so completely different. Even when one particular year we both served in the same officer role, but in different clubs, we did the role differently because the club was different, because we were different people. People have often said to him, do you not want to follow your wife into being district director? Not for me. But he'd be the first choice in our club for a new member looking for a mentor, for example. So we're different people with different things. And I think that's the beauty of the gift of membership in Toastmasters, that we give ourselves, that we accept that we're going to learn and grow, but that might look different to everyone else. So let us enjoy it and let us embrace the different learning that each one of us goes through. And let us always seek to share those benefits with others that we have found for ourselves, so that we never close that circle and always are open to new people and new possibilities. Thank you very much.
Toastmaster International President, Marek Matheson, DTM. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marek Matheson, for that lovely interview. And thank you, James. That's it for this week. Join us again next week for our magazine show. See you then. From me, Mario Brown, from Marek Matheson, and from James, goodbye.